I did a little bit of research on blood and this whole thought and this whole process of blood. And interesting enough, in the 1700s, they used to do bloodletting, you know, which would mean that they would cut you and let you bleed because their thought was you had too much blood. And that if you would get rid of some of the blood that you had, it would help your headache, it would help your hemorrhage, it would help whatever it was. And of course, you know, they kind of advanced in medical science to leeches. You know, put 100 leeches on you. Folks, I had a leech on me one time. I got it off as quick as I could. There's no way. I'd rather die than have 100 leeches on me. But the breakthroughs that they have in blood donate. If you have a program, you set a sermon notes there. If you have your smartphone, find your smartphone, go to your Bible app, and your Bible app, just search for an event, and it will actually pick up, as long as you've updated your Bible app, because mine wouldn't update last week. The top of your notes, I have the phrase, is, giving and receiving. And if I were to talk to you, and I were to just say names, like people I know, Dave and Don and Mark and Ricky and Betty, I'd be giving you a list of names, and maybe you would fit in that exact same category, because those are the list of names of people who have given blood that I know of, and many, many more. They've given blood. I could also give you a list of names like Joy and Gary and Jill and Tom and Janie and Deanna and other people who I know that have received blood. Giving and receiving. And some of the people that I mentioned, their lives were literally saved by their blood, the donation blood that was given to them. And some of the people that I mentioned, it didn't save their life. The blood wasn't enough. But I'd like to talk to you about a blood that is enough. If you understand anything about how important blood is in America and in the world, I want you to consider how important it is from a spiritual side, the blood of Jesus Christ. In your notes, look, I have three things I want to share with you today. Blood, number one, would you fill it in with me in your notes? It saves lives. And nobody would probably doubt that. I'm sure that there's some people that are against taking somebody's blood and giving it to somebody else. But the majority probably of everybody in America and everybody here would say, yeah, blood saves lives. Matter of fact, I did some research in the Mayo Clinic and the Red Cross. They said one unit of blood has the possibility, I'm not saying every one of them, it has the possibility of helping or saving three different lives because of the platelets they can get on, the different things that they can do with the blood. I continued to do some research and found that in the United States, a blood transfusion is needed every 2 seconds. Now, that's not that they get it. That's what the need side is. So I can't imagine how many people died before we discovered and perfected the ability to give and receive blood. And that's kind of from a human perspective. But from the spiritual perspective, there are all kinds of people that don't believe in the power of the blood of Jesus. They could believe in the blood of human beings, they see it and other, but they don't really necessarily know too much about it, or maybe they don't believe it, or maybe they never really applied it to their lives. But according to the Bible, there is a disease that every human being has. It is a disease Jesus talked about as soon as he showed up. It's a disease that's talked about in the Garden of Eden, all the way to the book of Revelation. It's a disease, it's a spiritual disease, it's called sin. Everybody born has it. And there is one application, one type of blood that can free you from that sin. Nothing else can. You know, when I was growing up, I thought, man, if I could be a pretty good guy, my good works might save me. My good works might help me get into heaven. I read the Bible and found that that is absolutely no way could ever happen. You know why? Because I'd have to be good enough all the time. Because once I sin, then what would I do? And of course, everybody sins at least once. But according to the Bible, it tells us that blood was continually needing to be shed. Here's what God would do. If you were to pick up the Bible and start reading, you would start to read that God was requiring a sacrifice for sin. He was trying to paint a picture. God always did things in a picturesque way. When you read the scriptures, you'll see and understand that he's trying to teach spiritual things with a picture. So he would say to them, listen, blood of an animal sacrificed And when you do that, that is for the remission or for the forgiveness of sins. Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verse 22, kind of takes the entire Bible leading up to Jesus and teaches us what God was trying to tell him all the way up. It says, in fact, Hebrews 9:22, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. Now, folks, you and I get blood and it's like, ooey, ooey. No, they use blood for cleansing. But look what it says. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. What do I think I'm going to put in the place of blood? Good works? My works? My blood? No. No. So, for years, God has been trying to teach people that in order to have your sins forgiven, see the sacrifices. So, sin created this debt that we owed. A debt that we owed and the debt that Jesus paid. You'll see here in just a second. So, in the song that they were singing, I took a line out of there. It's exactly what we're talking about. The line in the song, Lamb of God, said, to trade the debt we owed, your suffering for my freedom. Because I couldn't die on the cross, because I wasn't a perfect sacrifice. See, on the human level, blood transformations, they can save lives. And some lives, they don't save. But from a spiritual perspective, there's not a life born in the entire world that the universal donor, Jesus Christ, can't forgive their sin. Number two, after you see that blood saves lives, I want you to take a look at the blood from the lamb. See, one of the animals that was to be used, and I'm not sure if it was most often, I found 109 references to a lamb. One of the animals that was to be used was a lamb. It was to be slaughtered. Now, when Israel was enslaved, which is what sin does, it enslaves us. When Israel was in Egypt, they were enslaved for 430 years. The day that they were going to be able to get set free, God said, I'm going to send my death angel on everybody here. That means the Egyptians, and that means the Israelites. But here's how you can be saved. Moses was told by God, take a lamb, sacrifice the lamb, take the lamb, have lamb chops that evening, enjoy the lamb, but take the blood of the lamb and put it over the doorpost of your house where you go in and out. And the death angel will pass over every house that has the blood of the lamb on it. Why do you think there's a holiday called Passover? It's the Passover. And now here's the cross of Jesus Christ. With the blood across it. And anybody who will truly turn to Jesus Christ can have their sins forgiven. And pass over from death to life. What is all this about a lamb? When John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Okay? What does that mean? If I was a sinner and I took my lamb and I presented it to the priest, and the blood was poured out, and the lamb was sacrificed, my sins would be forgiven. God the Father had a lamb. His lamb was his son. That's why John the Baptist said, look, the Lord's sacrifice, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. And it signifies the shedding of the blood of a lamb. Now, in your notes, I have Matthew 26, verse 26. This is when Jesus was with his disciples. This is when Jesus was having the Last Supper with them, and it said, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. Now, did Jesus tear off his flesh and say, have a chunk of flesh? No. He did a picture word, another picture word, teaching us something. This, when we take the Lord's Supper, the bread represents his flesh, and the juice or the wine represents his blood. So the picture was, you got to eat of me. You got to be a part of me. You got to find substance and life from me. But he goes on to say in verse 27, then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. For what? For the forgiveness of sins. What does Hebrews tell us? That without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. What did Jesus say? Take and drink from this. This is my blood poured out. It's a brand new covenant. No more old covenant. No more sacrificing animals. Now, just me. Now, was his blood in that cup? No. There was wine in that cup. And there was juice or whatever in that cup. And they took and they drank it. And it was figuratively drinking which is, come to me for life. Come to me for forgiveness. That is, if you can know you're a sinner. Admit you're a sinner. Humble yourself. See, Jesus was the fulfillment of all of the sacrifices that were gone before, and now the Bible says no more sacrifices ever needed again. Have you ever thought about it? If you know any people who are Jewish, maybe they're just Jewish in religion, maybe they're Jewish in their nationality. Do they sacrifice animals today in their religious practices? I have some Jewish friends. Maybe you do. Maybe you know that. I'm sure there might be, but Jews don't sacrifice animals anymore. Now, if Jesus is the Messiah, yet they don't believe in Jesus as the Messiah, and the Messiah's blood was the one that could cleanse us and forgive us, how are their sins forgiven? If they're not sacrificed, they still don't believe it. How are their sins forgiven? And maybe that's really not our issue today. But it is interesting that they have stopped doing animal sacrifices. The question I'm concerned about is myself, and I'm concerned about you. Jesus is the one and only man who came from God, and he was the sacrifice in my place. Sin, my sin, demands a payment. You can agree with that or disagree with that, but that is a biblical fact. The song that they sang, the Lamb of God, says, the Lamb of God in my place, your blood poured out, my sin erased. You know, if there's anybody that knows something about debt, it's definitely got to be Americans. Americans have so much debt. You know, we look and we see people in third world countries and we pity them for this, that, or whatever it might be. I don't know. But they have no debt. What they have is they have. We have a house payment, a car payment, credit card payment, school loans, and on and on and on I could go, right? We got so much debt, it's not even... What if somebody freed you of your debt? Just paid it all off. Do you know what they say over 50% of the people would do? Go right back in debt. Because they want to have something. But there are intelligent people. And there are some people here who are debt-free and others who are working to be debt-free. They smile. They live life at a different level than most people. They live life like nobody does at the beginning, like Dave Ramsey says, and then they're living life later like nobody. I mean, I know people, they make very little money. They practice this. They are so generous as a Christian. You wouldn't even believe it. You'd say, well, these people got to be rich, but they're really not. They're just debt-free. See, we all have a debt because of our sin. Jesus knew that, and he willingly paid my debt. He willingly paid your debt. Number three, that blood wasn't there just because it saves lives and wasn't just from the Lamb of God. It was for you and it was for me. And this is the thing. People that are dead and gone, it was for them, but it's not for them anymore. People who we born the rest of this year, it's for them, going to be born, but right now it's for you and it's for me. This blood that was is for you and for me, and the biggest difficulty from applying the blood of Jesus to my life is my sin. It's my sin. Because if it was me, I would grade sin on a curve as long as I could set the curve. Let me just set the curve. Because in our thinking, I think to myself, you know, I'm really not as bad as, you know who. You know. I mean, I turned the TV on the other day and there was this forensic thing on and they were talking about this guy who was a rapist. I had to turn the thing off. But the truth of the matter is if I cheat on my taxes $10 knowingly and I do it, there's no difference in regards to sin and God. Don't try to grade it on a curve. If you're thinking here, you say, well, I use God's name in vain and that's not a really big thing, but I'm not a murderer. So you don't understand. You don't understand what the scripture says. You can't use God's name in vain. You can't be flying Jesus Christ down all over the place and then come worship him on Sunday. You and I have to understand that sin doesn't grade on the curve. If I'm an adulterer and somebody's a liar and they think, well, at least I didn't do that. It's sin. And that's the problem that we have sometimes. We just think that we're not all that bad. Because we look at it from our perspective. But I want you to understand that Jesus loves you. The number one thing I need you to understand is before you even would come to him, he sees everything you did, folks, for 25, 26 years. People come to know this. I broke almost every one of the Ten Commandments. I probably invented a couple. I was far from God and calling myself a Christian. In Matthew 27, in Jesus' entire process of having to be crucified, how in the world does a Jewish guy who's angered the Jewish people and in front of a Gentile? Pilate, a Roman governor. What does he have to do with it? Because in this day and age, the Jews, though they wanted Jesus dead, had no legal right to do it. They were under the law of the Romans, and the Romans would say, death on a cross, or let him go. And in just a little bit, I'm going to show you four or five reasons and ways that Pilate tried to set Jesus free. But he's now down at the end of it. And what does that have to do with anything? Just look at this with me. It's in your notes, Matthew 27, verse 24. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar or a riot was starting, he took water, this is famous, he washed his hands in front of the crowd and he said, I'm innocent of this man's blood, he said. Then he said these words, it is your responsibility. Not realizing what he was saying, he was speaking to everybody for centuries to come. Evan, it is your responsibility. The blood of Jesus Christ, he went there because of the sins before he was alive, and because of all the sins after, the sins I committed, they drove Jesus to the cross. And as Pilate, not even knowing it, said, his sins are on you. They are your responsibility, and they are mine. And I took responsibility for my sins, and I took them to the cross, and I took them to Jesus Christ. You see, Pilate, not knowing what he was saying, challenged this, and guess what? Guess what the response of the people was in verse 25. You don't have any notes. Here's the response of the people. All the people answered, quote, his blood is on us and our children. And for generations on down, the blood of Jesus Christ has been on parents and kids and everybody. And I want to say to every parent who is here today, you need to know and understand the way you live your life is responsible for your children. You're responsible. For your kids. You're responsible to lead them. Live a holy life. Live a life better and higher than the rest of the lukewarm Christians. Set a good example so they won't be able to look to you and say, well, Mom and Dad did it. Your children and their future, their eternity is partly in your hands. They have a free will, but it's very important for me and for you to take the responsibility that Jesus' death on the cross was because of my sin. And I say that, and look at the words from the song which said, my name upon your heart, my shame upon your shoulders, but the power of sin undone. What is it that would keep us? What has it kept me from coming to Jesus though I kept hearing the truth? I kept hearing it. Probably nothing more than my Italian, Irish, that's a mixture in itself, pride. My pride. Not wanting to humble myself, not wanting to come forward, not wanting to say Jesus is all. See, I met with somebody last night. I was with Jim and Betty, and I found out that Betty's O positive, I think. Her blood is... Everybody wants her blood. You know, they're running after Betty, wanting her blood. No, but when she goes, they're like, oh, this is a universal donor type, and all of the A and the AB and the B, they can all use it. And here's the truth. There is one universal spiritual donor that's good for everybody. It doesn't matter your color, it doesn't matter your creed, it doesn't matter what country you're from. Jesus, the Lamb of God, slain for the world. He died for you. And if I cannot admit that I am a sinner, and that my sins are on the shoulders of Jesus, truly I have no hope. But that is not why we're here today. I want you, I've been praying for more than anything, that you would understand and realize that Jesus loved you that much. And that though you may not love yourself too much, that's what we find today, that low self-esteem, and you think, you don't know what I've done, and thank the Lord, you don't know what I've done. The fact that God would redeem somebody, some punk with a sarcastic mouth, to preach the gospel, talks an awful lot about His wonderful mercy. But Easter doesn't make sense unless Jesus has risen from the dead. Who cares about the blood of a man who died that hasn't risen from the dead? That's what we celebrate today. We are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ because, honestly, if he didn't rise from the dead, his blood has no power. So you can understand that. But I know that some of you're a lot like me, and you just think, you know, if I could just have some... If I knew that Jesus rose from the dead, I would dive all in. All right, I'm going to give you three proofs. You can find proofs way beyond this. I'll give you three proofs. They aren't even necessarily biblical proofs. Today is March 27, 2016. Why isn't today March 27, 4016? Because? Yeah. They changed the calendar of the world because something happened 2016 years ago, give or take a few years. And since it was such upheaval and such a crazy thing that happened, everything then became before Christ and everything after Christ. But you, every time you take a coin out of your pocket, you look at that date and say, how'd they get that date? Alright? That's one. How about the whole thought of the fact that, you know, if Jesus died on the cross and you can find the fact that there was a guy named Jesus outside of the Bible, Josephus, a historian, wrote about it, that he was dead and his disciples claimed he was alive. You can find it in secular writings. And all I ask you the question is if Jesus died and didn't raise from the dead, the only thing they had to do, with all their power, with all their might, with the Roman guards, with Pilate, and Pilate said, yeah, go ahead, put some guards on it, because I know he talked about raising from the dead, and all they had to do was produce his body. That's all. All they would have to do is produce his body. As it is, the story goes that, you know, an angel rolled away the stone and sat on it. He was the beginning of somebody said, you know, why don't you just sit on it? And he sat on it. And those guards ran. And they said, you know what? We'll cover for you. We'll pay them off. All they had to do was produce the body. And they can't. And they haven't. Number three, the disciples, who many people will give you this wonderful argument. You know what happened? The disciples came and sold his body. Okay? These are the same disciples that when Jesus saw the way, ran, hid in fear. These are the same disciples who none of them were at the cross except a handful of women, his mother being one of them. These are the disciples who were cowering and hiding in fear. The disciples came and took the body. The women had more guts than them. Do you know who the first person was Jesus appeared to in the garden after he rose from the dead? A woman. Because they were hiding still, not getting it through their thick skulls that Jesus said he would rise from the dead. But when they went and were called to come look and see for themselves, these fearful, wimpy guys became some of the boldest men on earth. They died for what they believed. They proclaimed that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. Jesus Christ appeared to more than 500 people, Scripture says, over 40 days. And those disciples who were cowering fierce were put in prison for what they believed Jesus was risen from the dead. They preached it and they were flogged. They preached it, thrown in prison. They preached it and they were killed. They preached it like John, and he was put on the island of Patmos, just abandoned for the rest of his old life, and many of them were martyred. They went to their grave believing in something, and they were hiding before. You don't even need the Bible to find that out. Something changed them. And it changed me, and it changed many of you. It's the truth that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Because without Jesus' resurrection, his blood does nothing. In your notes, I've been praying this for you, that you will take this personally, that the Father saw you and said, you're worth it. When you happen to see or read of everything that happened to Jesus, when a crown of thorns was put on his head, when he was whipped with lashes, when the Bible says pieces of his beard were ripped out, that his face was marred beyond any human recognition, you need to know he said you were worth it. Because at the end of the skit, no greater love has anyone than he laid down his life for a friend. Now, one of those guys who weren't the original disciples, but saw the resurrected Jesus, his name was Saul, became Paul. And in Ephesians, he wrote this, it's in your notes. This is what he proclaimed while he was jailed for years. He proclaimed, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. Okay, the opposite of that is without the blood of Jesus, you have no redemption. I have no redemption. the forgiveness of sins, he said. But without the blood of Jesus, without Him in my heart, in my life, then I don't have forgiveness of sin. No matter what I do, no matter how religious I am, no matter how many good works I do. And it says, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, which is God loves you. And while He saw you in your sin, He saw that you were worth it. You are worth it today. So in your notes, right at the bottom there, I took the words from Jesus where He said, drink from it, all of you. And today, I'm going to ask you to do something that, I'm going to just challenge you about. There's drops of blood falling from the cross, and there's drops of blood all across the altar. Drops of blood all over the place. I'm going to, in just a minute, ask you to say, do you want to recommit your life to Christ if you're a Christian? And say, I know the blood of Jesus is for me. I know I was a sinner, I'm following Him. But maybe today you need to recommit, or maybe today for the first time, like I did 30 some years ago, say, you know what? Today, I'm going to follow Jesus, no games played. I want my sins forgiven. And if you don't want your sins forgiven, that's okay. Sin is fine. Oh, sin is fine. Today, we're going to my sister's for Easter, and I'm making mashed potatoes that will kill you. I mean, they're going to taste good, but they will kill you. Now, the thing is I have to make sure Maria, my wife, is not watching, okay? Daniela, keep her busy. I'm making mashed potatoes, and I'm going to put some butter in and some salt in. And Maria, stop, she's helping out, and then when she's not looking, I'm going to put a couple more dabs in it, because nobody knows what a dab is. And when she asks me, she says, well, how much did you buy? I said, I put a couple dabs in. What's a dab? A little dab will do you. Sin is fun. Eat my mashed potatoes, they'll kill you. I'll do the funeral. I wonder if Jesus is precious enough to you in just a minute that you will come forward, take a drop of blood and say, this is my relationship with Jesus. So let me give you five things to ponder as you think about that. Number one, Pilate tried to set Jesus free as soon as they brought Him to him. He knew the Jews were jealous and he tried to set Him free right away. And when that didn't work, read it in the Bible, he sent him to Herod. He said, you're from Galilee? Let Herod take care of you. That's his district. When Herod couldn't get a miracle out of him, he sent him back to Pilate. Pilate thinking, oh, brother, here he's back again. So you know what he's going to do? He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. This is the second time. He said, I'll take him in the back. We'll have him whipped and beaten with a whip that has bone on it, tin and lead. And they'll whip the front, they'll whip the back. Matter of fact, if you could put that picture up there for me. I know that's just one of the pictures from one of the Passions, but I just want you to understand what was going on. If we could beat him enough, then he'll bring him back out and the Jews will say, oh, that's enough. They'll shove a crown of thorns on his head because he said he's king. Oh, they'll mock him, yeah. And you know what they said? Crucify him. It's like, I can't believe these people are stubborn as stubborn can be. So then he's thinking to himself, well, it's going to be Passover. So it's Passover, so you know what I'll do? He says, hey, everybody. At Passover, I let a criminal go free. We got Jesus. I don't find no guilt in him at all. He said, we got Barabbas, who's murdered several of your friends. Who do you want me to release? Thinking they're going to say Jesus. Guess what? You know. Barabbas. That's the third time that I find. I also read that Pilate's wife had a dream. And she came to him and said, I have suffered all night long with a dream about this man. Had nothing to do with him. And Pilate began to have just a little bit of fear until he gets to the place where for the fifth time that I marked, he's tried to let him go. He finally says, okay, wash my hands of it. His blood is on you. The worship team is going to come. They're going to lead us in our theme song today. The Lamb of God. Look at the words to the Lamb of God. Jesus was the greatest blood donor of all time. They talk about type O as being universal. Jesus' blood is universal. It covers the entire known world. He's the greatest blood donor. The universal blood donor. In the United States, a blood transfusion is needed, what, every 2 seconds. But some of those people that will get blood will also once again, need blood. Some of those people who get blood, they will die. But the thing of it is if you die in Christ, you will go from living here to living in the next life. You know, I find it very interesting. People in church are a little concerned about coming forward, taking just a representation of the blood of Christ, just like Jesus said, you know, break my blood, you know, just a representation. And you come and saying the same thing, but, you know, your kids, they get an award, and they walk forward, and everybody's all proud about it. And you go to get married, and somebody walks forward with somebody, and they're all proud about it. For whatever it is, people just, they have no problem getting over their fears for that, but I just wonder how much you love the Savior who loves you, and who's given His life for you. As this song is sung, will you just listen to it? Let me close and send us out in prayer. Father, as we come today, we know that this is Resurrection Sunday. It is a day that we celebrate the difference from any other person who has died. You defeated death. You were raised to life. The blood that you shed was for our sins. We receive it gladly. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great